Fringed and Unhinged. I am Gabby, aka Gabby with the good hair, and I'm here with my friends.
I'm Florida ma'am. Wait, my name's Ashley. My legal name is Ashley, but on the streets, I'm known as Florida ma'am.
On the streets. In the sheets, she's known as a feral raccoon.
Oh, been called worse.
We're so excited for today's episode of Fringe and Unhinged because this is one topic that we have talked about since the idea of the podcast was realized. How to find your salon home and your mentor. Just a not-so-fun statistic for you. One-third of stylists change their jobs every single year. Some of them are just changing salons, but many of them are leaving the industry entirely. So there's a huge, huge, huge turnover rate in the salon industry itself. And I feel like something that can help that and to keep you from being part of that number is by finding a good fit in your salon home.
So you want to dive right on in?
Yeah,
let's get freaky.
It can be really difficult to find a mentor. I know I didn't have any idea where to start. I just was kind of looking for, I don't know if you did the same thing, but I was just looking on Instagram and I was like, they look real cool.
I feel like I'm kind of guilty of that, but I genuinely had no idea what I was getting myself into. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew the Orlando scene that well. I had only like had maybe like one or two hairdresser friends prior, so I had nothing to go off of, and they were from Tampa. So I genuinely had no idea what I was walking into, and I was kind of just trusting the process and flying by the seat of my pants, and I wish I had better guidance with that for sure.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, so I think, everyone can benefit from some different tips on how to find your mentor. What are some qualities that you would look for in a salon mentor?
I want someone who genuinely cares, wants to... I understand that you're putting in work to somebody, you're giving up a lot, it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
So, but it's a lot of work on both ends. And I feel like it's almost like picking a parent. It's kind of fucked up and weird. You want someone who's going to be, like, nurturing, but also someone who's going to, like, guide you, give you the tools that they didn't have, save you a lot of trouble that maybe they went through and they don't want for you. Someone who has, like, a set plan in place, too. Like, hey, this is where I see you, I don't know, a year from now, or 6 months from now, or whatever the case may be. I want someone who's going to guide me, but also hold me accountable and just pour into me what maybe someone else didn't give them. And in return, though, you also need to be willing to do the same for them.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. I think the biggest thing that I find to be really important is to make sure that when you're looking for an individual mentor and also a salon home, but making sure that your values are aligned. I feel like that can be a really intimidating statement. I feel like a lot of people throw out, like, make sure that your values are, like, matched, but no one really knows what that means. So I'm a big list gal. I love a list. So just, like, make a list of deal breakers, things that are important to you. I don't think I really understood where my own core values lied until I sat down, honestly, earlier this year and really got serious about creating my own personal brand and my brand story. So everything in this career, I mean, most things in this career are going to line up to or break down to your values. That's going to be like the building block for a successful career. Building a clientele that aligned with you, finding your salon home, finding a mentor, it all breaks down to, like, what are your values, what's important to you. And you don't have to sit there and write down, this is my value, and this is a value, and this is a value, this is a value. Just, like, write out some word vomit. You know, that's going to be super helpful. And then break it down and look at the reoccurring themes. And for me, a lot of it broke down to kindness. Like, kindness is super important to me. So write out what's important to you, look at that, and then use that as a tool to guide you in your salon interviews and in your journey of finding a mentor.
I think another one for me is, like, authenticity.
Yeah.
You'll find that, like, some hairstylists are very, like, pushing the social media thing really hard, and they just want to be famous, and it's not necessarily about, and this isn't, like, dissing anybody, like, there are just different paths. Like,
snaps.
There are different paths. Like, maybe you want to just be, like, Instagram famous, and that's cool, but some people don't necessarily care about how good their work is, or how thorough, or how, like, I don't know, attention to detail is lacking.
They're not necessarily looking at longevity for the client.
Yes. It's fine if your client loves it. Like, that's what they are coming there for. They're coming there for the experience. But also, yeah, like, figuring out who those people are and if you align with that or not. If you're more of just, like, a social media person, which, like, awesome, cool, good for you. You can also do both. You can do great hair and be great at social media, or you can also be one of those stylists. Like, I've seen, literally, we've worked with a few of them that are just fucking beasts behind the chair, but, like, fly really low on the radar.
Oh, yeah.
And are just, I don't know. But there's different sides of it. I don't know, it's kind of, like, polarizing almost.
Oh, yeah.
Pick what works for you. Like, honestly, if you're fucking great at social media and you're just like, I want to get clients in and out and, like, whatever, like, fucking lean into that. Make that your thing. As long as you're good to your clients and your clients like that, like, neat. But that is, I feel like, the reality of it, and I didn't realize it starting out.
I feel like a lot of the stylists that you see, and again, not everyone, but a lot of the stylists that you see that are absolutely crushing it on social media are not always crushing it in real life behind the chair. Whether that means that they're not as busy as they make it seem, or they just, like, the quality of the work isn't actually to the par that it looks like it is online. But to your point, yeah, lean into what, like, figure out your personal goals in the industry and find someone who you like their work and they're doing work that you aspire to do. Find someone who is a good person who you look up to. You shouldn't look up to them just as a stylist, but you should also look up to them as, like, a human being.
I agree.
And someone who, most importantly, actually, this was, like, your main point, was, like, someone who creates a safe space for you.
I feel like I struggled with that a lot. I feel like stylists can be very catty and salons can be very toxic. And I don't know that I ever in my career was in a situation where I felt like a safe space was created for me to, like, express myself, ask questions. If I was feeling frustrated about something, like, I just wasn't able to do that. And I feel like that's unfair to a lot of people, like, starting out in the industry, because they might have questions, but they might also be afraid to fucking ask them.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I don't know.
They might have questions, but they might not even know what the question... This sounds so weird. You might have questions, and you might know that there's something that you should ask, but you're not sure what you should be asking.
Yeah.
And you're not sure how to ask it. So, finding someone who can help you navigate that is huge.
I guess that's another thing that you could add to your list is, like, mindfulness, too.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who can be self-reflective as your mentor is not only great for you, but, like, everyone involved. Someone who can take a step back and be like, hey, maybe, you know what, instead of getting mad at them, is there something that I can do to create an environment that could work better for them? Because everyone is different.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, find someone who is good at their job, who is doing good work that you is similar to the kind of work that you want to do, who is the kind of person that you look up to, and who is the kind of person that you feel safe talking to and who you feel safe learning from. And so we say all these things and you're like, yeah, cool, great. Now I have a dream mentor. Where the fuck do I find this person?
You gotta put in some work. You gotta do some digging.
Start looking.
Life's a garden. Dig it.
No. Start looking while you're in school. Even if you're not really ready to start going on salon interviews, you can still make those connections. We touched on this in the, I think, one of the last episodes.
You never know who's, like, watching.
Yeah, you never know who's watching. You never know what is going to become of something. Whether it's just, like, now you've made a cool friend. And you have now, I feel like I have Survivor on the brain, but now you have a cool alliance in the local hair scene. It's always good to make those connections. And you can start building that community while you're in school. The earlier you start building into it, the better. Pour into your community the way you want them to pour into you. And take advantage of absolutely every networking opportunity.
Even if it's just like, I remember we would do stuff with, even in school, but also one of the salons that we worked at. We would go and, like, cut hair for charity or something, mm-hmm. or, like, back-to-school events and stuff like that. A lot of people turned their noses up for some reason. They're just, like, super not into it. If you want to try out a new cut, that's also a sick time to try it. But also, it makes you faster.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you're giving back to the community, which feels fucking great when you're done at the end of the day. You're like, oh, shit, like, I just made that kid's fucking, like, year. And also just, like, the people, it doesn't stop there. It's the people around you. If you hear grunting, it's Leonard the dog. Yeah. Really close to the microphone.
Leonard is on my lap, and he's really comfy. And so I think he's about to start snoring.
It's actually Gabby just grunting.
Yeah. That's just how I breathe.
The winter snifflies.
I have a deviated septum.
But yeah, like, don't let it stop just there. Like, you can reach out to people in your area and make friends with other hairstylists and grab a fucking coffee with somebody. I feel like you kind of pushed me, actually, whenever I first moved here to, like, go do that. Just, like, meet other hairstylists. Just, I don't know why it feels like a date and it's weird and it's scary, but actually after, I'm like, you know what? They're actually, like, really cool. I want to, like, hang out with them and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're people that I still talk to and, I don't know. They're kind of important in my life now.
Yeah, and it's great. Like, even if you have social anxiety, if that is something that we're talking about, that you're like, oh, I could never do that. Remember, social media is a social network. It's a networking tool. So even if you're just following local stylists and you're engaging with their posts and you're commenting and you're responding to their stories, you're showing love, you're spreading love to them, and you're building that connection so that you're building a familiarity and a relationship with them, even if it is just online, and that way you'll feel more comfortable maybe grabbing a coffee with them, or in the future, if there's an opportunity that arises, they might have you in mind. You don't have to go out of your way and, like, go out to bars and do all this stuff. Like, you totally can, and that's going to be super helpful. I love going to hair shows. I miss it, and I miss going to those after parties. It was super fun. But if that's something that stresses you out, there's a way that you can do it now. We're in an awesome age of technology. We're, like, living in the future, dude. It's sick.
I feel like you've nailed both sides of it. I'm absolutely, like, the hermit crab, and Gabby's the social butterfly, but also she uses the resources of social media very well. So she's, like, coming at them from both angles and making friends everywhere.
Get you a girl that can do both, you know? Get you a goblin that can do both.
But I'm the one who's constantly like, how are people building clients, like, after you move? Like, how are you making friends after you move? All this stuff. Everyone's like, go out to the bar, do this, do that. And, like, that is not my thing. And that's such a great point. Using social media has, like, really helped me. Just being fucking weird and out there and, like, genuinely responding to people's stuff that I like, not just like fake people can feel the fake shit when you're just like, oh, hey, yeah, babe, like whatever.
It feels so disingenuous, mm-hmm, and it like feels icky. It's just like ick.
It's usually me like commenting something super fucking weird, and I'm like, if you match my weird, you'll like this. And then if you do, cool, we're friends now. And you can't ever leave me.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I feel like those are really good tips to, like, find a mentor. And remember, you can have multiple different mentors. I think that's healthy to kind of pull inspiration from a bunch of other people. I think it's really good to have a bunch of different people in your corner who you look up to, who you can go to and rely on for advice. They don't necessarily need to be people that you work in a salon with. While that's awesome, you can totally have mentors who are long distance, who are in your city, but maybe not necessarily at your salon. So
even whenever I came up, I didn't live here yet. I came up and hung out with Gabby and like worked with her for like almost a week as her like assistant. It was fucking sick. You get to...
Pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Just fucking hop in with one of your friends. If you have like extra time or like a day off or something, or you're not like, maybe you're only booked for half the day, like pop over and like go assist somebody or reach out to people. Yeah. It's fun. And also like having somebody who you already have like a friendship with or like a connection with, it makes it a lot easier to ask questions too and really break things down with them in a less weird way.
Oh yeah. But now that we have kind of gone over how to find a mentor, you also need to find the right salon for you. So, I know I personally wish that I looked a little longer. Pretty much every time that I've switched salons, besides the most recent time where I literally just opened up my own studio, I wish I did more work.
I also agree.
In looking into other salons. Because the salon environment is huge. You spend so much time at work. You're going to spend so much time with your coworkers. It needs to be, not only do you have to have a mentor who makes you feel safe, you should feel safe in your salon environment.
I agree.
I feel like people throw out the word toxic a lot. And I'm not disagreeing. I think that there are several things in salon culture that is toxic that a lot of us can agree on. We actually have a whole episode. Our next episode is actually going to be on toxic salon culture. But you have to understand that everyone is toxic to someone. At some point in your life, you have been the toxic person to someone. So you need to understand when you're going through and looking for a salon environment, define what toxicity looks like to you, because it might not look the same as what someone else considers toxic.
There are obvious things that are just like, fuck yeah, that's dog shit. You shouldn't treat someone like that. But yes, I agree. Like, everyone's different. Everyone learns different. Definitely, like, defining what it is that you can and can't work with is super important.
Absolutely.
Early on.
You can find a mentor well before you find a salon home. That's kind of why we say start as early as possible making these connections. Because when it comes time to look for a salon, whether it's your first salon, whether you're working to find another salon because the one that you're at might not be necessarily a great fit, the more connections you have in the industry and in your specific community, the better, because it's the more people that you can reach out to for their genuine advice that you know that you have in your corner. Ultimately, it's going to be up to you to figure out what is going to work best for you. No one can make that decision for you, but I find that it's really helpful to have someone, even if it's just having someone as a sounding board, to have that support is excellent. But I think a big thing in finding a good salon home is outlining... I love a list. Make a list of things that you absolutely do not want. Make a list of deal breakers, and also make a list of things that are really important to you and be very specific about those things. I feel like a lot of people nowadays, and I'm not saying it's wrong because education is huge, but a lot of people and a lot of new stylists specifically when they're looking for their first salon say that the most important thing to them is education. And that is great because continued education is huge. However, what does that education look like to you? And what do you need from that education? To your point, what's the best learning style for you? How are you going to receive and retain the information that you're being given the best? So make a list of things that are important to you. Be specific. And that pertains to not just what you're hoping to personally get out of the salon, but also the environment. What's important to you about the culture and the clientele, team dynamics, sort of the salon values. Again, everything comes back to values, you know. Do some inner work, figure it out.
Don't take it for face value, too, because I do see a lot of salons that are like, oh my god, like, we're so kind, we're so great, everything's neat. Yeah. And then you dig a little bit deeper within the salon environment, and it's not that way. So that's, again, a reason why you should just start reaching out early on and, like, I don't know. Get your feelers out there.
Yeah. And remember how I said everybody is toxic to someone? Salon owners, believe it or not, are human beings. And those humans might be toxic people to you. So, do your due diligence. Get to know them. Obviously, it's going to be a little difficult to get to know them on a personal level since it's going to be sort of like an interview basis. There is a power dynamic there. But you can also figure out sort of what the vibe is by talking to the stylist in the salon. That can be really difficult too because obviously they're working there and they don't want to say anything bad that might get back to the salon owner, but pay attention to what they're saying and also how they act and how they interact with each other. I feel like that says a lot.
That's something that's really cool. The salon that I'm at now, I went in actually a couple times for like really casual interviews. Like I'm pretty sure it was just like, hey, like let's just hang out and like see if we like each other. And Candace literally told me to just go walk around the salon. And, like, we just, like, hung out in the break room for, like, a little bit, like, while she helped people, like, I don't know, formulate for stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, watching everybody kind of interact was really cool. It wasn't rushed, too. I feel like a lot of interviews are very rushed, like, almost, like, intimidating and, like, let's get you in and out. And, like, we have better things to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that way at all. It was very different to have someone just be like, hey, come chill with us. At one point, she literally told me go walk around on the salon floor and ask people, like, how they feel about working here. And I was like, that's fucking weird. I've never.
Freaky, I like it.
And I'm like, that's crazy. And, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of awesome. And it says something to the way that they run things also. Because they are very open to, like, hearing if there's something off or going sideways or whatever, and I don't know. I feel like that's it's another level of confidence that a salon owner can have too, knowing that they're human, they can work on things too, but also they're comfortable with where everyone's at.
You should definitely talk to the stylists that work there, but also whether you're in Charlotte or you're in another area, I feel like
fucking Canada, we don't know.
Fucking Canada, fucking Toronto, I don't know. Wherever you are, if it's anything like our little community of hair, it's very interconnected. A lot of people know, everybody sort of knows everyone. The world is small, the hair world is smaller, you know? So, like, talk to stylists in your area. See what other people know. Not in a gossipy way, but sometimes, you know, the stylists who work at that salon might not feel, like I said, they might not feel comfortable being totally candid with you about, like, how they really feel until it's, not to say that it's almost too late, but, you know, you'll start and you talk to someone, they're like, oh my god, yeah, it's great, you should totally work here, blah, 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 because they think you're awesome and they want you to come in, but then when you get there, you're like, hey, this is a little shady, right? And they're like, oh yeah, it's real shady.
Definitely has happened before a million times.
Yeah, absolutely. They're like, come on in, the water's fine. You like old Greg's place? I got this. This is nice.
Ever drink Bailey's from a shoe? want to go to a club where people wee on each other? It's, yeah, It's also, like, their boss is usually, like, breathing down their neck, like, right behind them. Mm-hmm. Or they know someone else is watching or someone else is going to say something if they hear.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think talking to other stylists in the community and just being like, hey, like, do you know anything about this salon I interviewed? I think it might be a good fit, but there was this, this, and this that I'm a little hesitant about. Do you have any insight on that? I know I've had stylists reach out to me about that, about other salons, and I'm not interested in, I'm definitely not interested in talking shit about someone else's salon, but I am going to be honest about, like, what I've heard if someone has told me something.
At the end of the day, too, you're your own person. You deserve a safe space, and you deserve the, you have the right to go and ask if that is a safe place for you.
Absolutely.
I feel like that's what it kind of boils down to.
Yeah.
You got to look out for you, too.
Yeah. And pay attention in those conversations. Pay attention to those red and green flags that you're hearing. You know, we'll kind of get into identifying those. A lot of it has to do with your personal values. Once again, you kind of have to figure out when you're outlining those things, what is a red flag for me, what is a green flag for me. And
I'm really excited about this next point.
Look at the Google reviews. I just reviews for the salon in general, and look at how the salon responds to negative Google reviews.
I think about a year into one particular salon, I started looking at the Google reviews and I was like, holy shit, how do you talk to people like this?
It's insane.
Had I known. I also, I don't know, at one point, just like another job that I had on the side, looked at their Google reviews after starting and was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, that, this isn't just for salons. This is for any business. If they do not respond to a bad review or a negative review. Granted, some people are fucking insane and they'll leave an absolutely unhinged review and like that is they that's all they do. But if it's like multiple things and they're just like showing their ass, that it's pretty telling of how they're gonna treat you too.
Oh yeah. For sure.
What is that thing about like guys where they're like, see how a guy treats his mom, because that's how he's going to treat you.
Oh, yeah.
That's how your salon is going to treat you.
Your clients are your mom. Yeah. And don't rule out independent stylists who work in a suite. After talking to my first assistant that I hired, she mentioned that people were trying to talk her out of working for me because there was no room for growth. And that's not always the case.
I ran into that also starting out. People were like, oh my God. Once they were saying that stylists were never going to make it if they went to a suite, which joke's on you. After COVID, everybody went to a suite and they're doing so much better.
Yeah.
But also starting out, they're always like, don't assist someone in a suite. There's no room for you to grow. They can't teach you anything. They're all alone. Like, what are they gonna, like, they almost like, you're like an outcast. You're like a fucking goblin that they don't want you to go talk to. I don't know. It's super weird.
It's really strange. And then
there are so many benefits, though.
There are so many benefits. And it just, while an independent stylist who is in search of an assistant will not be able to give you the structured classes that a larger salon will be able to give you, they likely won't be able to afford to send you to major hair shows or big things. Like, there won't be as many, like, flashy, in-your-face benefits, but you can learn so much from that one-on-one. It's so much more intimate. You have more, like, one-on-one attention from them, and they can really tailor the education to you.
I'll also add, too, like, don't think that just because they're in a suite, nothing can, like, you can't grow from there. There are suites with two chairs.
Oh, yeah.
There are suites where they can fucking blow out a whole wall and give you four. Like, there are options. Also, if that person teaching you is really dumping in, like, pouring into as much of you as, like, they can, they're obviously successful. They're working for themselves. They've been able to, like, separate themselves from a major salon and they're fucking crushing it on their own. Who's to say that they can't teach you to do exactly that and then you could have your own suite right after? Like, if you really fucking crush it too. So
absolutely.
I feel like there are amazing opportunities within that.
Now that you have some insight on what you should be looking for, let's move on to getting the job, doing the interviews, and evaluating all the salons that you've interviewed with and assessing which one is going to be the best fit for you.
This is the part that stresses me out, and I actually, while we were going over this, was asking Gabby for her advice because I crumble when it comes to, like, interviews and stress out and feel like I'm trapped and whatever. So this one I'm actually really excited about.
Yeah, interviews can be really intimidating. It's really scary, but I think the biggest thing is remember that they're not just interviewing you, you're interviewing them. You need to remember that you also have power in this situation. If you take anything from this podcast, also, every single point that we're making, every single, like, little segment, I have lists. If you take anything from this podcast episode, make lists. List are your friends. Tag me when you're making a list. Post a story next time you're making a list for any of these things that we've talked about. And just being like, just making my pros and cons list. And like tag French and Unhinged and also Gabby with the good hair. Please. I would love it. But make some pros and cons lists. Don't be afraid to like bring in an, if you're going in for a formal interview, the salon is most likely taking notes. There's nothing wrong with you going in with a notebook, too, and taking notes down, like, writing down different points that you want to make sure that you remember. That's huge.
Chances are you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to forget most of the information anyways, if you're anything like me. Write that fucking shit down. What are they going to do, slap a notebook out of your hand? No.
Yeah, and even if it's not, you don't even need to bring in your notebook. Just mention, like, hey, is it okay if I want to make sure that I remember all these points that we talk about. I don't have a physical notebook. Is it okay if I just write it down on my notes on my phone?
Make sure to communicate that first, before just jumping on your phone.
Yeah, just say it. Say that that's what you're doing. Because if I was interviewing someone and they pulled out their phone, I'm not even lying, I would write them off immediately.
Yeah.
I'd be like, absolutely not, you're done, bye.
I would respect someone more if they showed up with, like, a little folder with, like, some paper or, like, a notebook and a pen. I feel like I was taught to do that anyways, but
I would too, but I also understand that most everyone is very digital now, and it can be a lot easier for people to kind of keep things all in one place on their phone. So I don't think that there's anything wrong with doing it on your phone.
I agree. Just heavy on the communication before you do that. That's all.
Don't just be a chameleon. Don't blend into what you think that they want to hear. You need to be yourself. Be honest. Be authentic. Because the value in authenticity doesn't just go for the salon, it goes for you as well. Questions are good. Write out your questions beforehand because, like, to your point, Ashley, I get really nervous in the interview, and every time they get to the point where it's like, do you have any questions for me? I'm like, no, I'm good. I think you covered everything. And then I go home and I'm like, fuck, I had so many questions, actually.
Ooh, can you give a real life experience to this one, because I do love it. Thanks.
Yeah. So also when I was interviewing for my first assistant ever, I'd interviewed a couple other people, and by the time I got to my final interview, which is my first assistant that I ended up hiring, we were kind of talking, and I asked her if she had any questions, and then she said, yeah, what is your plan for me? She hit me with Uno reverse, and I was like, that's it, you're hired. And she's like, right, but what's the plan? I'm like, right, do you want the job? Like,
and that's my favorite thing, is because they need to have a plan for you. It's not just about you showing up and busting your ass for them. Well, you should be busting your ass for them, but also they should be giving you something in return. And that looks like, hey, we have a plan. 3 months from now, I want to see this. 6 months from now, I want to see this. A year from now, I want to see this. And maybe we start building your chair up and whatever. Let's get you in for model days. It's going to be this many days. Like, I want a structured plan and list.
And you know what? Some people need that. And I'm not saying that that's bad. But I also am saying There are some salons that maybe just, like, don't have that. Like, Ian's salon, excellent. He's one of the best teachers.
He's a great teacher.
I know.
Educator, great.
He's an excellent educator. We tag team on a bunch of the education that we do between our salons. I'm a lot more structured than him. So I do have, like, a full outline of, like, this is all the stuff that I want to cover, and this is my, like, plan for you, because that's something that I value. He doesn't do that stuff as much, and that's okay, because he's also very open to communication.
And this also speaks to exactly what we're talking about, is finding, like, what fits, like, what works for you, like, what's a good fit. Do you want that super structured, outlined everything, or do you, are you more of a, like, go with the flow, like, when the time is right kind of guy? Like, making your list of what works for you, and finding someone, your mentor, that works like you.
Yeah, and maybe, you know what, if you need structure, and if they don't have that, and that's a deal breaker for you, then that's a deal breaker. But if that's not something, if that's something that you would ideally like, but maybe they're not quite as structured as you want, but they're still offering you a bunch of stuff, you have to kind of weigh that and figure out, okay, is this something that I can bend on, because they're also offering me a really great, not deal, but, like, a really great environment that I feel like I would genuinely thrive in. You kind of have to, like, go in and be like, okay, what is the most important to me? What can I absolutely not go without? And, you know, what can I sort of bend on?
Also, if you're completely lost and you just want to, like, feel things out for a minute and kind of go on a few dates and find what your thing is. Mm-hmm. The salon that we worked at, like, not recommending it, but I do love the structure of, they had a bunch of general assistants at first, and then you graduated to, like, a someone's, like, personal assistant.
Yes.
And I kind of did love that, for the idea of, like, I don't know where the fuck I'm going. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I don't like. I need to, like, experience something first. So being a general assistant, you just floated around the salon and you assisted whoever needed help at the moment. And it wasn't necessarily, like, personalized, but you did learn how different people work. And you can pick up on things that you like and don't like and kind of go from there and use that to, like, narrow things down a little bit. If you are just, like, completely at a loss and you're just like, I don't know what my type is.
Yeah, I don't know what my type is. I just like everything. Anything but country.
I like everything but country. I think that is a really great situation to try out if you want to. It's like speed dating.
It's like speed dating. But also, if there's not, if that's not an option, and it's like you don't necessarily, maybe there is a salon that does that, but you're not really sure if it's necessarily the right fit for you, reach out to stylists that you look up to that maybe do different things and ask to shadow them. One of my stylists that works with me now, he didn't end up coming to me right after school, but when he was in hair school, he messaged me and he actually came in and shadowed me. And he, because I was in a bigger salon with a bunch of other stylists, I got to the point in my day where I said, hey, you're more than welcome to hang out and watch me do this, but it's kind of at a point where I've explained what I'm doing. It's getting pretty repetitive, so feel free to walk around and look at what the other stylists are doing. And he got to look at people doing men's cuts. He got to, I think someone was doing a bleach and tone that day, which is something that I absolutely don't do. Like, he got to...
Him and I became internet friends after that.
Yeah, he got to do, and, like, he got to interact with a bunch of different stylists who work very, very differently. He was specialized in different things. And so he also didn't have to commit to working to the salon that day.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. So there are a bunch of different ways to be able to do that.
Yay. Oh, also, big one.
Oh, yeah. If they, in the interview, if they discourage you from asking questions,
or they get, like, defensive or weird.
Yeah. Run away.
Just, yeah.
Just get up and you say, thank you for your, well, don't do that, but... You're like, okay, cool. Thank you so much for your time and for your consideration. But when it comes to making your decision, this is where these lists come in, my friends. When you're going on all these little speed dates, try to... Actually, you mentioned this earlier when just you and I were talking about it, and I thought it was a great idea to, like, have columns mm-hmm. for each salon and compare. You know how they do that with, like, credit cards, dude? Yeah. Like, write out, like, do a little chart and be like, okay, this is the salon. These are the values. Let's see which one checks these boxes.
Yeah.
Or checks the most boxes. And I think that's huge. Make sure that you're taking your time, gathering information, taking notes during your interviews, talking to other stylists, and understand that you don't need to say yes in the moment. I feel like a lot of salons will offer you the job in the moment. And it can be a really weird situation to be put in because you're like, oh, I don't want to say no and then not get it, or I don't want to ask for time and not get it. But
how would you word that where you're like, cool, like, I just want some time to think about it. Like, let me go home and just, like, weigh some things out. Like, do you give them a time frame? Do you...
I mean, now I would give a time frame for sure. The first time I hired someone, I didn't. And it honestly, on my end, it did kind of screw me over because I was looking for someone to help me through the holidays. And just because I wasn't more strict on my personal timeline, it kind of screwed me. So
I'm speaking to the other side of things. Like, if you're being interviewed.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, typically... I think on that end, it's sort of up to the salon or whoever's hiring you.
Like, how do you word it, though, to, like, the person? Like, say I'm sitting here and you're interviewing me and I'm like, yeah, sounds great. I'm gonna go home and think about it. I don't know why I'm sounding like I'm like, my name's Joey and I'm from... Let's edit that out. I'm from New York.
That's staying in.
I've got a pizza in this box.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like...
So I'm saying, yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to go home and think about it. What do you say? That got real weird.
From someone who has been on both ends of it, I don't know. I feel like I would sort of say something along the lines of, yeah, thank you so much. Just to be totally transparent, I am weighing my options between a couple different spaces. I really want to make sure that I choose the right space for me. Is it okay if I go home and I take... You can go ahead and throw out a timeline that you're comfortable with, whether that's a few days, whether that's a week. But if you give them a timeline, understand that they might not... It might not work for the salon's timeline. And that doesn't mean that that salon is, like, that doesn't make them bad. That just means that maybe they, like, are sort of, they have a deadline to hire someone. So if they say, yeah, that's totally fine, you can absolutely take some time to work on it, but we do need to know within, like, by the end of the week.
I feel like the way you said that, too, was, like, so respectful that, like, if anybody got mad about that, that...
Yeah, don't come at it and be like, yeah, man, I really appreciate it, but to be honest, I think your salon, like, kind of sucks, so I really want to see if there's anything else better before I sign up for this.
Why did I feel like you're, like, wearing a vintage t-shirt and bleached out hair with, like...
I actually am not interviewing Jinkos. For a salon. I'm interviewing for Black Sheep Skate Shop.
That's right!
If you know, you know. That's what I was picturing. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying yes in the moment.
Kick flips on her way out.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with saying yes, or saying you need time to think about it before making your decision. In fact, I feel like that makes me, as an employer, almost respect you more. Not that you should, that sounds bad, but like, I want to know that you're taking the time and that it's going to be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
So... Even if I think that you're a great fit for me, because I've also looked at other candidates, I want to make sure that that feeling is reciprocated and that you're going to feel good in the space that I'm providing.
I love that. Also, this is a big one for me, too, was gut feelings.
Yeah.
Because I ignore them a lot. And I'm like, oh, no, man, kind of feels weird, but I feel like the answer should be yes, but I'm not sure. And in the end, my gut was always fucking right. And so I feel like we kind of touched on this too earlier today, but if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. I just feel like if you're feeling the vibe, like, still, like, if you really want to think about it, give it a couple days, cool. Respect that. Love that. But if you're feeling a little uneasy or, like, unsure or, like, torn, it's probably a no.
Oh, yeah. This should be something that's really exciting for you, whether it's your first, especially if it's your first salon, but even if you're in a salon environment that's not a great fit or you're moving to a new state, you gotta go with your gut. You gotta, at the end of the day, as much advice as we're trying to give to make sure that you're prepared for this sort of journey that you're gonna go on, at the end of the day, it's your decision. It needs to be a good fit for you and it needs to feel right to you. You should be excited about this step, and if you're not, or if you have a weird feeling, recognize, like, respect your own feelings. Definitely sleep on it. Talk it out with someone. But at the end of the day, if you're like, I don't know, man, it just, like, feels, something feels off, it's probably off, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's other fish in the sea. There's plenty of other chairs on the street.
There are a million fucking salons.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Most cities you can throw a rock and hit a couple. So, you know that two birds, one stone?
Two salons, one stone?
It's
two,
like, girls, five. One cup. It's like five salons, one stone. It's crazy. Maybe not all of them are great, but somewhere in there, you're going to find a good fit for you. Going back to mentorship, though, and also just once you find that good salon, you want to, it's hard. It feels like the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a little bit nervy, right? And you want to make sure you're going to make a good first impression, and you want to make sure that you're going to, like, you've figured out that that salon is a good fit for you, so now it's time for you to sort of integrate into that salon culture. And just make it feel at home, you know? Kick your feet up, man. Like, put up your Live, Laugh, Limp Bizkit sign.
Maybe don't kick your feet up, because we had a girl do that at one of the jobs I worked at.
Oh, yeah.
Drove me fucking nuts.
Don't actually do that. Metaphorically, like, in your heart, kick your feet up.
Yeah.
But in physical reality, pick up a broom.
Yeah, yeah. Like, by kick your feet up, we mean clean.
Yeah, clean and shadow and ask questions.
Oh,
but
man.
But part of that,
I think someone said to me once, make yourself, like, a permanent fixture here. Whenever I started a job. And I was really nervous. And mm-hmm. That was probably, like, the best advice anyone gave me. It was almost like, yeah, act like you work here, because you do. but also, like, make yourself valuable.
Yes.
To where people are like, yeah, like, she's part of this. She's part of the team. And it's, like, literally, that's it, integrating. Like, she's a part of it. I think that, I don't know why, that always comes up in my head sometimes, but...
Yeah.
Just...
We wrote on our notes, it's a Simba relationship. But what we mean is that it's a symbiotic relationship. And it's a give and take for those who didn't do well in science. For those cutting specialists, it's a give and take. And, yeah, you need to, as much as in the interview you're deciding what you can get out of the salon, now it's your time to give yourself to the salon environment and to your mentor.
There should be an equal balance.
Yes, it shouldn't be, all right, clean the baseboards and maybe once a year we'll throw you a treat. Like,
I had to clean the baseboards on my birthday. Gabby has a picture of it.
I sure do.
That was great. With a sponge and a tiny bowl in the bathroom.
Cleaning is also not... That was fucked. But cleaning is part of the salon assistant job description. So
you're going to deep clean.
You're going to... One thing about assisting is you're going to deep clean.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
I was just treated like shit there all the time, though, so that didn't matter. It was the same every day.
In exchange for quality education... A safe salon environment where you feel like you have room to grow, that you feel safe asking questions, and that you genuinely feel like you're growing as a stylist and maybe even as a human being, you should also be helping the salon as a whole and your mentor out in whatever they need from you.
I feel like something that really worked for me a lot too was like trying to think about if I were the stylist, what would be valuable to me? Like mm-hmm. little things like, cool, are you done with this? And I take it away and clean it and put it away all clean. Like while they're doing something that I can't physically be assisting them with, I'll like clean their brushes or like clean up the station around them. I just, anything that I could do to make their area less cluttered. If I see their bowl of lighteners getting low, cool. Are we using the same developer? Are we bumping it up? Can I go mix you a new bowl? What would you like in it? What's the ratio? Get it before they're done with that bowl and bring it back. Little things really speed things up and they notice that and they appreciate it. And they're going to be more willing to like give you information and help you out later on, seeing that you are actively participating and not just there for the ride.
1000%. I feel like going back to sort of what I talked about defining what you mean by education is important to you, you need to maximize your learning opportunities. I hear a lot that some newer stylists will leave a salon and be like, I didn't learn anything. They didn't give me any education. And you know what? Maybe you're totally right. Maybe you're totally right. I'm not saying that you're lying. I'm just saying that sometimes we don't realize what's right in front of us. And there is some responsibility that falls on you for how much you take away from a situation. Because even at our first salon that we reference a lot, even at that salon, at any salon that I've worked at, honestly, no matter how bad the situation was, there was something that I learned from it.
A lot of things of what I would never do.
Right, but you still take some stuff away.
Sure did.
So to walk away from it, I don't think I would ever walk away, regardless of how bad the situation was. I've never walked away from a salon saying I didn't learn anything or they didn't teach me anything.
Yeah, like you have to have learned something, whether it's good or bad, and you've grown.
Yes.
I will say, so that was my third salon I think I've ever worked at. Not my first one, but my first one I worked at, they were so busy and the people that I worked for were not interested in educating. Also, they were just like very like, I'm going to work on 3 people at one time. Get this shit out of here. And, like, I didn't have time to ask questions, but I will say I should have probably, like, advocated for myself a little bit more and been like, hey, I'm actually interested in learning. Would you mind taking some extra time out of your day to stop and tell me why? Like, I know I'm mixing these toners up for you, but I don't know what they are. Can you tell me why?
It's also really important to note that not everyone who is hiring an assistant is an educator, and not everyone who is hiring an assistant is necessarily interested in being an educator.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate, but that's just...
And that's something you need to dig and ask if education is important to you.
But also remember that just because it isn't a structured class doesn't mean you're not being taught. So that, to your point, if it is a really busy salon, if maybe they don't have the time during the day to teach you, don't just say, they don't teach me anything. Take it upon yourself to say, hey, I know that you're really busy in the day. I know that you might not be able to answer my questions right now. Is it okay? Can we schedule some time? Don't ask if it's okay. Just ask, can we schedule some time where I can ask you the questions that I've written out?
I used to put them in my phone too, like in my notes section on my phone, because I knew I would forget by the end of the day. So I'd just go in and I'd fucking toss that shit in my phone real quick, go back at the end of the day and be like, hey, so we toned this girl. What the fuck was that? Like, why did you use it? Or, I don't know, anything, any question I had. Why did we use this? Like, I would see them use like, almost like a horseshoe placement a lot.
Yeah.
All the time. And I'm like, why does this one person do that all the time, but I never see anybody else do it? Like, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. And usually someone will be like, oh, really? That's your question? Okay. And they'll explain it to you. Or you can also get a mannequin and try it on it and see why that works, why it doesn't, and also have them help explain it to you. But yeah, I think I struggled a lot with people just, like, staring at me. I would be there just, like, silent the whole time. And they're like, you good? And I'm like, yeah. Trying to figure out what questions to ask because they didn't know what questions to ask. The question I should have asked was, hey, do you mind explaining what you're doing?
Yeah. And then sometimes, and also understand, sometimes they will have time to explain it in the moment. Other times, the more you talk during a service, the more it slows you down. And 100%. Sometimes you just genuinely don't have time. So understand that it might not be, if they tell you, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have time right now, it's not necessarily because they don't want to tell you or that because they're gatekeeping information from you. It's because they genuinely don't have time. And that's something that I, as a stylist, I fully understand. And I was really frustrated about that as an assistant.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, hindsight 2020
things. Like, be okay with being like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, or don't even say sorry. Like, just,
okay, can okay, we talk
yeah.
about it later?
Can we talk about it later? Yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that plays into, you know, finding someone that you can have that open communication with. There's several times that I've had those interactions with my own stylist and with my own assistants where I've had to be, I've, like, tried to explain, and then I would feel myself start getting frustrated, and I'd have to say, hey, I'm really sorry, I can go over this with you later. This is coming from, and I'm not saying that I'm, like, the best educator ever. I have just had more experience on both sides to where I think that I'm a little bit more aware, but some people aren't always aware of that.
Yes.
So, try not to take it personally. Try to understand if someone gets a little snappy, they're probably not trying to be mean. They're probably just genuinely running behind. And they're like, I don't want to be mean to you, but I also, like, need you to put this toner on. I don't have time to explain why I'm using this toner.
Yeah.
Like, we have someone else coming in 30 minutes. I need you to put this toner on and blow dry her. And I will explain this shit to you later.
And that's also a situation where, like, you can also, there's opportunity there to form a relationship with that person. Don't see it as like, oh, they're shutting me down. Just go to them at the end of the day and be like, okay, I'm like, let's just, like, talk about that. Like, can we talk about why this was done, whatever? And they will probably talk to you in a lot more calm manner because it's the end of the day and everything's done.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, like, y'all can bond and, like, share thoughts and everything. And, like, that's a way to, instead of just avoiding it at the end of the day and just, like, leaving me, like, fuck that. Like, approach it as if it's an opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like we made some good points. I hope that this was helpful. I wish that I heard all of this stuff when I was starting and when I was looking for a mentor. So, just, I guess, in review, when you're looking for a mentor or a salon, make sure that wherever you go and the people that you're trying to connect with have values that line up closely to yours. Write out your values. Make sure you understand your own personal values so you can make those decisions. Make pros and cons lists, and then every time you do, tag Gabby in a story about it. to compare your different salon environments, and also just maybe if you're going to be a personal assistant for someone, you know, compare those pros and cons too. And remember that you're in control just as much as the salon that's interviewing you. It's okay to take time to make a decision. And, you know, the world is your oyster.
It's a big old sea booger.
Amen to that. So, jinx.
So can we, like, do some freaky little Instagram questions now?
Yeah.
Because I know we got some.
Yes, we sure did. And I think, honestly, I feel like we touched on some of them really nicely in this.
Touched on them nicely.
Sam's portfolio. Little baby Sam at Headspace. We love you.
Hi, friend.
Said red flags and green flags to look out for.
I feel like we kind of covered a lot of that.
We covered a lot of that, but not specifically. So I guess, like, I genuinely believe that everyone's red flags and green flags look a little bit different, but general red flags for me in, like, a salon interview would be...
Defensiveness.
If you're asking questions and they're sort of combative about it, or they talk down to you, that's not it. They're probably not going to be open to communication later on either.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, like, lack of clarity?
Lack of clarity, yes. Sort of talking around. If you ask a question, that's also, like, just communication. Like, if you ask a question and maybe they're not combative or they're, like, not defensive, but they don't necessarily answer the question that you asked.
But I hate that feeling whenever I ask a question. I'm like, did they actually even give me an answer? And I'm confused and we just talked in circles.
And to, as someone who's pretty verbose, I get a little bit wordy, and sometimes I just, like, talk a lot, so I get nervous that I'm not answering a question, so maybe that's just how they are, but if they still kind of avoid the question after, you're like, yeah, I appreciate that, but also, like, what was the point? and they still are like, well, you know, I just,
How about wildly over-promising things?
Yeah.
Because I feel like there are a couple salons where I've actively been working at them, and they'll post, we're hiring, and put, like, wild shit. Like, you can travel around the world, we'll pay for this, we'll do this, whatever, whatever. Yeah. Unlimited time off, paid time off, da-da-da. And I'm like, bitch, what? We don't even...
You're like, where?
Yeah. So, like, I almost immediately, that's, like, a red flag for me when they're like, you should post benefits, but also not, like, absolutely wild things. Like, those are kind of a red flag for me.
I can see that, for sure. Yeah, because that almost seems a little bit braggy and, like, they're gonna hold it over your head like this particular salon did.
Yeah.
So, that's one. And I feel like green flags, like, anyone who is open to having conversation, if you're reaching out to someone, whether it's a salon or a mentor, and they're very supportive in that initial interaction.
Almost like an open dialogue between the two of you that's comfortable, mm-hmm. too, instead of just like a one-sided conversation.
If they ask what you're looking for, or if they open that conversation about what are your core values and what's most important to you, what are you looking for in a salon?
I like that.
I feel like when they turn the conversation, and you gotta be careful because sometimes, like, you have to understand the way that they're asking about it, but if it feels very sincere, and this also just goes along with the gut feeling, like, if you feel really good about the fact that they just asked you, like...
It's almost like a how can we help you grow?
Yeah.
Like, we want to be there to support you, and how can we be there to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any other green flags that you want to touch on?
Honestly, salons...
That's a huge one, yeah.
Salons that let you come in and shadow... is a green flag for me.
Green flag.
Because a lot won't.
Salons that encourage you to go and see what else is out there.
Yeah.
And make sure, who don't pressure you to give them an answer right away on whether or not you're going to start.
I like that.
Yeah. And then our friend Allison at Hair Speaks Volumes.
The baby and awful.
Gave us a really good one with how to stand out as an assistant and to get the most out of your mentor.
Hey man, if you're just standing there and you don't know what to do, again, grab a broom.
There's always some shit to do.
There's always. Someone's definitely left a color bowl in the sink that should have cleaned it, and it's their responsibility. But you know what? If you go clean it, wow. Good on you. If you grab that broom... Good on you.
Yeah.
If you clean shit off their tray that they're not using, ask them first. And clean it up and bring it back. Good on you.
Oh, yeah.
What else?
I cannot tell you. Also, first, like, gold stars all around to Kayla. Cuts by Kayla, my old assistant. She's, like, fucking crushing it at another salon.
She's great.
She's the shit. I was really hard on her, so this is my formal apology, because I don't think I realized how hard I was on her, because she, like, absolutely crushed it at everything. But when in her salon interview, she came in to just, like, assist me for a day, and it was, like, a day that I really needed an assistant, and it wasn't supposed to be an actual working day. And she knocked it out of the park. It felt like we had been working together for years. It just fit. And it's not always going to be like that. But what really impressed me was she just took initiative. She was like, hey, I noticed you're almost done with that color bowl. Can I remix for you? And she didn't know the color line. I'm really particular about that stuff, so I didn't necessarily let her do that in that moment. But the fact that she asked, huh, amazing. I was so impressed. And I was like, I want to give you the world.
Mm-hmm.
I want to teach you so much.
Can I hand you foils? Can I, like, mm-hmm. literally, whenever someone's sectioning, pass them a clip.
I actually didn't even have to, that was one of the things I was so impressed with. I didn't even have to ask her to start handing me foils. I went to reach for my foiling board and it wasn't there and she handed it to me with my foils loaded on it.
Amazing. It's a stuff like that. Star.
Be a Kayla.
And it sounds so silly, but also, like, it really does speed up the service, and the fact that you're not behind is such a relief.
Yeah.
That's how you add value.
Yes. I am really excited because, as we've touched on some red flags in this episode, our next episode is going to be all about toxic salon culture. And
I'm really interested in people sending in their stories for this one. If you can send us, like, a couple sentences to a paragraph of your fucking wildest story.
Yes. If you can send us your stories, or if you have gone on a salon interview recently and you're trying to decipher whether or not this salon might be a little bit toxic, if there are some red flags that you have encountered personally that we haven't touched on.
We won't name who they are.
We won't. Yeah, it's totally anonymous. Your secret is safe with us, but we want to know. Send it in. But, yeah.
I don't think we have a fuck, marry, kill or anything.
Oh, I feel forgot.
Like, I feel like this, honestly, was just so wildly packed full of information that...
Yeah, I feel like it's good, but if you guys have fuck, marry, kills, would you rathers...
Send those, too.
Smash or passes, send them in, and we would love to share them on the next episode.
With arms wide open.
Thanks for taking us higher.